Business Leaders of Today is presented by Tess Turin, marketing and advertising consultant, and Angel Nowlin, who specializes in business insurance and asset protection.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Business Leaders of Today. Our show will introduce to you the brightest, sharpest, and best business leaders around our great city of Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Tess Turin with Basica and NextLink Marketing Solutions, your host, and I have next to me host Angel Nowlin with the Nowlin Insurance Group. Good morning, Angel.
Good morning, Tess. How are you?
I'm doing great. How was your work week?
You know, I was in training all week, so I'm still trying to get my brain to cut back on.
That's right. You were in Ohio all week, weren't you?
Oh, man, what's better than Ohio?
Atlanta.
All right.
We always like to start off the show with inspirational quotes. Angelisms and testimonies is what we like to call them. And I know, Angel, you have one for us today.
You know what? I have so many of them. It's ridiculous. But one of the things I realized this week, being in training, in the Midwest, the great Midwest, evolution is as important as breathing. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
I realized that evolution is very important. What you believed as a child, you shouldn't believe anymore. And not even just that, not what you believed last year, you should evolve on some level of your thoughts and at least what you think you believe, not just everything is so down the road. This is it. This is the way it is. Life's just not that simple. I wish it was.
Change is consistent.
Absolutely.
Well, today's a special day because today was the day I was born.
I was going to say your birthday is.
Okay. I really didn't want to bring it up, honestly.
I know. Mine's in a couple of days. Our birthdays are very close together. So
yeah. Anyway, I have something that I want to start living by, and I've been recently living by, and it's just a few just inspirational things that I would like to start implementing in my life on a regular basis. Think positively, exercise daily, eat healthy, work hard, stay strong, worry less, dance more, love often, and be happy.
Amen, honey.
Well, we have a great show for you all today. In our studio, we have Dan Kaufman and Mike Bartlett from J.E. Dunn Construction Company. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, and happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Great to have you on the show. And then we also have Steve Jones from ATL Steppers Connect. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in.
Like, don't try to give us that sexy voice, good morning.
And we have Mr. Bernard Levitt from B. Levitt & Company. Good morning, Bernard.
Good morning to you.
Well, first we're going to start the show off with Dan Kaufman, which is President, East Region, and Mike Bartlett, Executive Vice President from J.E. Dunn Construction Company. So tell us a little bit about J.E. Dunn Construction.
Well, I'll start. This is Dan Kaufman. J.E. Dunn Construction is a fourth-generation family-owned company out of Kansas City, Missouri. And we are one of 20 offices in Atlanta as our East Region headquarters. And in our East Region, we have four offices being Atlanta, Charlotte, Nashville, and Savannah.
How is Atlanta, Charlotte, Nashville, Savannah the East Region? That's not the Southern Region.
Well, some call it the Southeast Region. We also have a Central Midwest region, which is our headquarters area. They're the largest part of our organization.
Okay.
And then we have South Central, which is the primarily Texas area.
So what do you all specialize in at J.E. Dunn Construction?
We're a commercial contractor, so usually projects we excel in are above $5 million, I think our largest one we've done is close to $1 billion.
Did you say billion with a B?
Billion with a B.
Tess, we're in the wrong business. I'm going to get into construction.
We don't get to keep all that money.
Well, even if you get to keep a little bit of it, that's still a lot.
Yeah, products are expensive these days, aren't they?
They are.
Any percent of a billion's a lot.
So healthcare, higher education, science and technology, we do a lot of mission critical work. Mm-hmm. We're actually at the Atlanta airport working right now, so that type of work as well.
So tell us a little bit about lean construction. What exactly does lean mean?
Lean started, many people know lean from the Toyota way. It started in manufacturing and is an opportunity to remove waste from the production chain. So in construction, a lot of people consider construction a commodity environment where you get a low price and you deliver on that low price. And we found that if we can remove waste from the process, much like manufacturing does, using the best and the brightest of our people, and instead of making things in advance and bringing them out on site and moving them around once or twice, bring them out when you need them, removing that waste from the process, and then have people that know the process the most, the workers that are actually on site, getting their opinions about timing and when things should go in. We typically can cut more than 10% out of the production time on site, and people enjoy the process more.
Working smarter.
Right? No doubt. As a matter of fact, my dad worked at United Technologies Carrier, and they worked on a JIT system where they try to, that's how they started cutting their costs. Instead of having these warehouses with all these parts, they start working on a JIT system.
Just in time.
Or just in time. I guess right. I should. Look, like I know what I'm talking about, right? I just remember him saying it all the time.
Either a JIT or just in time.
Exactly. Sure exactly. But I have to ask, now you said four generations. That's something. I mean, how have they sustained four generations?
Hey, that's a great question. And so it's a 90-year-old company. Mm-hmm. It's turned 90 this year.
It's 70 years older than I am.
Congrats. So usually, if you know generational companies, about mm-hmm. the second generation is when the company's typically sold. So that we have the 90-year-old third generation, or second generation, excuse me, in the office about 3 days a week right now. So you have a strong leader like that
right.
that refuses to sell what he created.
Okay.
And then we turned about 3 years ago to an employee stock ownership program.
Okay.
So all the employees are part owners now. So it keeps that generational feeling alive in the company. But it is very difficult. Most companies are sold by the end of second generation.
Yeah, because how big is JE Dunn?
We're about $2.5 billion a year in revenue.
That's that B word again.
There it goes.
We're like 100 heirs, right, Tess? I think we're doing the wrong thing. I think we're definitely doing the wrong thing. So now you said you have some locations in Atlanta, Savannah, and your main quarters is in, I guess, the Midwest, I guess, Kansas City.
Kansas City.
What kind of projects do you guys do here in Atlanta besides, of course, the airport that, you know? I think y'all held me up last night, by the way, when I landed at midnight.
We had nothing to do with that.
I was caught in that construction out there at the airport.
Must have been someone else.
Exactly. So what kind of projects do you guys do here in Atlanta?
Well, so locally, we've got a number of high-profile projects. So private schools are big for us. So okay. we're working at Drew Academy, which is over in the purpose-built community over near East Lake Golf Club. So we're mm-hmm. building that. The upper school, which is nine through 12. They have a K through 8 academy over there now. So this will be the upper school for them.
Okay.
Wrapping it up now at CO, they'll start using that the end of the summer.
Okay. So how did you all start specializing in, I think you said schools and healthcare buildings. How did you all start that?
Well, first and foremost, we're a healthcare builder. We've been doing that for the entire term for us. So Gwinnett Medical Center, close to us here.
Right.
Client for 20 years. We've done almost everything on that campus. You drive through the campus and see a building, we probably build it.
Okay.
But anyway, it's a relationship business. We're proud to point out the fact that we build relationships better than we build buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So all of our work is pretty much negotiated and through relationships where you build trust and you deliver.
That's how right? I like to see my insurance business.
That's right.
Because nobody likes their insurance agent.
Right.
Except for me, of course. All my customers love me. Of course. I'm just saying.
You got to deliver and you got to have trust, right?
Absolutely. Because
and when that claim is filed, you...
I'm their best friend on their worst day, because then when I tell you, nobody's happy on claim day. Absolutely not. So now, let me ask you this now, because obviously I've been in the insurance business for a while. We've seen a lot change in the economy with construction. What have you seen change the most, I would say, since you've been in commercial construction business?
Well, Dan talked about it a little bit. So you have to be a differentiator if you're going to grow your business, right? So keeping up with the Joneses isn't the right play. You got to be different and you got to be better for people. So, you know, an adjunct to building relationships is providing that extra service or something different than most people can't provide, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say the process of the lean construction, it has a lot of tentacles to it, but the process of delivering a building in an innovative way that's more efficient, faster, and of higher quality is the biggest change, I think, in our business now.
Mm-hmm.
In my career here, it's gotten a lot more complicated. It was a much simpler process early in my career.
Absolutely.
And you're an insurance agent, so you'll understand this. Insurance, legal issues, there's a whole bunch of things that have gotten into the business that aren't necessarily construction-related things. So trying to balance all that stuff with what we really do is a challenge. But these approaches that allow us to do it in a less wasteful manner are a huge help in that regard.
Oh, I'm sure. And I want to remind everyone out there, you're listening to Business Leaders of Today. I am Angel Nowlin with the Nowlin Group Insurance Agency. My co-host is Tess Turin with Next Link and Basica Marketing. And we're speaking with Dan Kaufman and Mike Bartlett of J.E. Dunn Construction Company. $2.7 billion with a B dollars. I think I'm going to switch careers. And he was just telling us the changes that he's seen in the commercial industry, obviously, over the last several years. Now, are you all planning on opening up any more locations since you have 20? I may be looking for a job soon.
Well, we've got good coverage throughout the United States, except for the Northeast. So that's kind of the way the East thing worked out for you. We could call it the Southeast, but the East is, we don't have a lot of operations in the Northeast. So it's,
okay.
So that's the way it works out. We could call it the humidity division, but we just call it the South.
Exactly. Region, right? Isn't that? I try to tell them Ohio. They're like, oh, it gets really hot in August. I was like, it's been hot in Atlanta since March.
Like earlier in the show, we were talking about change and change is constant. What kind of changes have you seen in the construction business or trends that you've seen within the last several years?
Well, pricing is a big issue for us, both on the labor and material side. So there's a radical shift almost annually, or you could say daily. You could argue that, right? Yeah. So the biggest thing associated with that was the very deep downturn we took 2 or 3 years ago, and a lot of professionals left the industry from the design side all the way through the subcontractor side, who we spend most of our time coordinating. So a resource loss is probably, I say all that just to say that, a resource loss to provide our services.
That's an interesting way to look at that. I like that, resource loss. That's what I'm going to say the next time I break up with somebody. I lost a resource. I think I like the way you put that. Now, let me ask you this. Then you said it's a fourth generation company. Obviously, you have built this business on, they have built it on relationships.
Right.
Those relationships have got to trickle down to the community. What kind of community work does J.E. Dunn do?
Yeah, I'll hit that one. So as an organization, we give back about 10% of our net income to charitable organizations.
Oh, wow.
And it's always good just to give money back to organizations, but we try to do is get our employees highly engaged in that give back as well. So locally in Atlanta, for example, we have 3 or 4 that we're highly engaged with.
Okay.
So that we not only give our money to them, but we give our time, and our people feel more engaged in the community. Locally.
Okay. Well, what are one of the organizations you all are involved in, if you don't mind saying?
I don't mind at all. So we have we call it a Dunn Run. It's a 5K that we do typically around November 1st. That's when it'll be this year.
Okay.
And we raise about $30,000 to $35,000, and we give it to Kids to Leaders, which tries to break the incarceration cycle for kids of parents that are incarcerated. And so the typical standard is over 80% of children with incarcerated parents repeat that cycle.
Right.
So getting to those children early and giving them the mentoring they need makes a difference.
Right.
So they're a highly successful organization in breaking that cycle. So that would be one of those. This weekend, or the 16th, we have a Feed the Homeless that we do. We do two of those a year. And we get about 50 to 60 of our employees out there. And the organization we do it with is from the real estate industry.
Okay.
And they feed about 50 weekends a year.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah, just to, you know,
that's almost every weekend.
It is.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So there's a dual benefit to me. You know, we give back, but also I take my kids with me, and to let them see not only that we can truly help others, but how our special our life is.
Right.
And it makes us more appreciative of our everyday life.
Absolutely.
Now, I had read somewhere that you have a minority contractor business development program. Could you give us an overview on that?
Well, it's an adjunct to what Dan's talking about with community involvement. So it started in Kansas City probably 7 or so years ago. We have an initiative there where we try to foster business growth with smaller subcontractors, essentially, is what the target market is for us in our community, so we can develop a relationship with them and create opportunity for them. So the biggest roadblock to all that is just typically the complexity and the size of the projects we chase versus what their skill set is. So they're typically sort of just blocked out of the process because they don't feel like they're capable of managing or taking on part of that work. So we need to bridge that gap a little bit in both directions. One, knowing who they are and getting a relationship with them, and then helping them create a growth side to their business or grow their business enough that they can they can perform under
now,
those
how
conditions.
Can a small business participate in this program? Well, how can they get involved?
Yeah, because I think I'm going to start Angel Construction in about 30 minutes.
I know Bernard probably over here as well, right. Ears open.
Right, look, I want to start Angel Construction, 2.7 billion. 1% is plenty for me of 2.7 billion.
Well, so you're still looking for some of that billion stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. That's enough pie to split between a few of us at least, right?
Well, it's an application process, so we'd like to make sure that the companies and the businesses are viable and they do work that we can actually hire and work with. You know, it's difficult for us to mentor or help businesses that don't do business that we do, so it's difficult to create a long-lasting relationship that way. So anyway, there's a application process. It can be found through our website, so you can log on and apply. And then we have a diversity director in Atlanta, small business diversity director in Atlanta that I sit with and help work through that process. So it's mostly just making sure the companies ultimately can get where we're going, which is to build a relationship and then have an ability to work with them on the work that we do.
Right, because everybody can't play in the major leagues. There's no doubt about it. But I heard you say mentoring. What kind of mentoring do you do for the smaller businesses?
Well, we're involved in the GM, Georgia Minority Diversity Council, which has got an official mentoring program. So they have a roster of members.
Right? Oh, wow.
I'm familiar with that program.
We work with them. So I'm actually a mentor for a small restoration company here, actually up here in Gwinnett. And so they're currently who we're working with now. So we'll match up executives with you know, the applicants that they feel like need that kind of assistance.
Oh, so, I think we had her on the show, and she told us about that, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think she told us about that program. Yeah, she didn't tell me it was $2.7 billion pot. It would have been a different kind of conversation.
So, Angel, you talked in the beginning of the show about the evolution.
Evolution is important.
So some of the things we've learned from this program, too, the first year we did it, we looked at people that wanted to learn and grow their business.
Right.
And at the end of the program, we found that we could only utilize about a third of those people, even though they got great training from us, because they weren't in our industry. So our evolution was to do the vetting process much better and to help grow them so that at the end of the day, they could actually do work with us.
Right, right.
So, yeah, we've had 26 companies through the program, and we've got two of them. For example, we're building our East Region headquarters right not far from where the new stadium will go for the Braves. And so we'll be done in November, and we're using three of our current people in the group doing our own work on our office building.
Oh, wow.
So it's a good opportunity if we vet the process right to put the work in place.
Absolutely. Look, that's close. That new Braves Stadium is close to my house.
Impressive and very commendable.
Thank you, to say the very least. And I also want to remind everyone out there, you're listening to Business Leaders of Today. I am Angel Nowlin with the Nowlin Group Insurance Agency. My co-host is Tess Turin with NextLink and Basica Marketing. And we are speaking with Dan Kaufman and Mike Bartlett of J.E. Dunn Construction. And they were just talking about their mentoring program that they have through the GMSDC. Am I finally saying those initials right? But I did want to say something when you were talking about the evolution in business. I think there was this myth that people don't want to do well in life, which is just absurd. Who doesn't want to do well?
Right.
I think the biggest thing is people don't know how to do well.
Right.
And as hard as it, as easy as it looks, it's 10,000 times harder. I think people think you just wake up one day and you're responsible and you handle your money right and you make good decisions and you never fail and you never have any issues. And we all know, we've all been in business long enough to know that is just not the case at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have probably made a lot more wrong decisions than I have right, to say the least. But I think the key is being willing to make the mistake and learn from it and then move on. And your program sounds like, because if you can use a third, that's a lot to me. I mean, I can barely close 30% of the people that call me for insurance. That's a very high percent. So are you just that open minded, or are people that come to you that good, or kind of how are you getting to that number being so high? Cause I would think it'd be more like 10%.
Well, the first class that we've done, two of them, the first class was much lower, probably in the 10%.
Okay.
By vetting better and having people we can actually use. There's a commitment on both sides. There's a commitment to come once a month for a year and learn things about our company and why we're requiring this when you give us a price, why it needs to be a certain way.
Right.
And where you fit and doing their pre-qualifications. There's some work involved, to your point. Mm-hmm. But if we do that right, if we select correctly, we'll have business partners that can work with us as well.
That's one of the things, ironically, my sister's in cosmetology school full time now, but technically she does bids for construction companies. Mm-hmm. And I am so far from being that detail oriented. Lord, I don't know how she does it, but I've seen her do these bids where everything's got to be perfect. Like, an I cannot be not dotted, a T can't be crossed, or you cannot get, not only not get the project, you can't, you know, everything else falls apart. How do you all, who is there like a division where you make sure everything's, all your ducks in a row? Because 20 locations is a lot. Or is that kind of something you all separate to make sure you can live up to your reputation?
Well, it is regional, so we have four regions, and right. So each region does have everything it needs to support itself.
Okay.
So what you're talking about is what we call pre-construction, which is our mm-hmm. bid assemblage process, where we turn in our prices and our proposals to potential owners, right?
Mm-hmm.
So most of our stuff is negotiated, so that sort of regimented requirement that you are talking about are mostly reserved for government or hard bid projects, mm-hmm. which we typically don't.
You don't mess with them.
Well, I wouldn't say we don't, but it's the vast majority of our workers with private negotiated owners, and there's a little more latitude with that, but it's mostly the relationship side of things. You know, you're forgiven for small mistakes, but you're also, the result of that relationship building is you're also expected to provide stuff when things aren't necessarily shown. Our professionalism is supposed to bring to the table the missing link, so to speak, to
a
complete project.
Absolutely.
So any advice for people that are out there right now that might be a lot of business people listening to the show that might be in the process of looking for a company like yours, any advice to give them?
You got to have something.
Dead air.
Besides, start a construction company with Angel. So we can get on this crew of
1.7 million. Advice to connect with us or advice in their own startup?
What is the process? Walk us through the process of somebody that might be interested in doing business with you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about general construction sort of advice. But anyway, I think from the program that we have, or any subcontractor, frankly, it's just a matter of making themselves known to us, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to be part of the program, we need to go through the application process, largely because of what Dan said. We need to make sure that we're, you know, there's nothing wrong with other types of businesses, but there's not a whole lot we can do with hiring a janitorial service, for example.
Right.
So we can put them through the program, and they'll certainly will gain benefit from that. But our ultimate goal is to absolutely build a relationship where we can contract work and help grow their business. The best way we can help grow their business is to help work with, you know, provide some of our opportunities to them. And it's difficult to do that if it's in scopes of work that we don't typically hire.
Right.
So that's really the main focus of the vetting process. So I would say that contact us.
Mm-hmm.
You got a website, jedunn.com, and it's not hard to find us if the effort's there. You pointed out earlier, you got to wake up every day wanting to do it.
Absolutely.
And you got to want to do tomorrow better than you did today. And as soon as you let up on that, you're losing ground. Right?
I tell anybody, people that come work for me, I want them broken hungry. That's what I want. They ain't got to be necessarily smart's great too, but if they broken hungry, they work different. People who are not, you know, they want to do better. They want to be better. They want to have more. I respect that. And I, you know, there's a part of me that, you know, now that I'm a little older than 20, that there's a part of me that doesn't always feel that same fire. So it's good to be around people that do feel it. It kind of gives me a reason to get up in the morning because someone actually thinks I know what I'm talking about. Who knew?
It's intoxicating.
It is absolutely intoxicating. Yep. If I could get that just regularly, personally, it'd be a very different world. But yeah, absolutely.
Well, we want to thank Dan Kaufman, President, East Region, and Mike Bartlett, Executive Vice President from J.E. Dunn Construction Company. Thank you, gentlemen, again for your time today. It was great, great information you shared.
And thank give
you.
Everybody thank that you. Website again so they will know where to go if they want to apply for your GMSDC project.
It's www.jedunn.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And our second guest, Steve Jones, founder of ATL Steppers Connect. Good morning, Steve.
Good afternoon, Angel.
How are you?
I'm doing great today.
So tell us, what is ATL Steppers Connect?
ATL Steppers Connect is a dance and entertainment group. We provide Chicago-style lessons, dance lessons, and also we host parties throughout the city as well, too. So we're all about promoting this dance that we call Chicago-style stepping.
I love Chicago.
Right. Yeah, right. Some of the best meals I've ever had in my life.
They got great hot dogs, too, out there.
Beautiful city.
I've never had any hot dogs in Chicago, but I've had some good meals. Well, now tell us, because I participated. I actually learned how to step. Was it maybe a year ago? Because I always thought it was such a sexy dance.
Yes.
And it looks like, you know, the Dancing with the Stars has gotten so big, and now people want to know, you know, all these different moves. And it's really just a few steps that you do over and over and over again. But it just looks so smooth. And I haven't done it in a while. But tell everyone how kind of stepping got started.
Okay. And let me add that you are a wonderful student also.
Yes.
Angel.
Remember that when I had to pay for lessons again.
Well, the dance originated in Chicago. You know, as we mentioned, Chicago is a beautiful city. The dance originated in Chicago. And it derives from some of the old school dances. The jitterbug, the swing, the bop. Mm-hmm. But it's more modernized now. Mm-hmm. And it's actually has grown throughout the years. Several years ago, the musical recording artist R. Kelly came out with a song, Stepping in the Name of Love. Mm-hmm. And that really catapulted the dance and the culture of the dance into mainstream. So it was
right.
mainly in Chicago and some of the other areas, Detroit. But the dance has really grown, and it's linked to several other dances as well. Urban ballroom as well, hand dancing, and several other dances.
Now, do you need a partner for this dance?
No, there's actually a partner is not required to learn the dance. And what makes it unique in that sense is you can learn the dance here in Atlanta, and we have Chicago all over the country. If you learn the dance, and we teach specifically the 8 count of the dance, you can go to any city and go out and enjoy yourself. And have a really great time. But when you do learn with a partner, it actually will help enhance, you know, your partnership and your relationship as well, too. Because as Angel said, it's a very sexy dance. Yeah. And you used the word intoxicating earlier, too, you know, and it can be very intoxicating and it's lots of fun.
Well, you know, the thing that threw me was, first of all, it was only 8 steps. It looks like 8,000. Right. So the thing that I think I liked most about it was no matter where you go, people that know how to do it know how to do it. So you can have 20 partners in one night and you all dance the same. If only relationships was that easy.
Right.
Business was that simple, that everybody knew the steps. Everybody could make a lot of money. Everybody could be happy. It's not quite that simple. So the thing that I liked about it was, which I tried to explain this to a friend of mine. I was trying to get him to come and do dance, but he wouldn't do it, of course. You know, that's a requirement for husband number two. You've got to learn how to step, because I like doing it, even though I never get to go anymore. But I think the thing is, what people don't realize, dancing is always about the woman, which, you know,
correct,
I love, right?
Correct.
Think about Dancing with the Stars. All the steps, it's always about the woman, whether it's stepping, ballroom, what is it, the merengue, every dance is about the woman. Where else in the world can we go as women and everything be about us, except for, of course, dancing? So now you said it started, that's when it catapulted with the R. Kelly stepping.
Correct.
How did you start ATL Steppers Connect here in Atlanta?
I started ATL Steppers Connect. It was actually by coincidence. A local dance studio happened to contact me after they were getting several requests about the dance, and the studio had no knowledge of the dance. Mm-hmm. And so someone contacted me and asked if I would come in, and then I started hosting parties mm-hmm. right in Cobb County. But I started actually in the dance itself probably around 2004, 2005, and I learned the dance, loved the dance, enjoyed it, really took it to different levels. I have done a couple of competitions, hosted parties. I continue to teach now. And I just continue to build on it.
Now, are you mobile or do you have a location here in Atlanta?
I do not have a location. I'm teaching at a location in Tucker, but I've developed what I call my homeschool program to make it really convenient for people.
Right.
You know, if they have childcare issues or various things like that, I will travel to them to help them learn the dance. So I'm currently working with several couples right now.
And how far would you be willing to go out as far as your territory?
Watch your answer. Tess lives in Noonan.
I do.
That's a hump.
Well, what's interesting, I'm just starting with a couple this evening, and they're out in Snellville. I've traveled to Snellville. I do private lessons. I'll do groups, private parties. I've done work with couples who may be who are interested in maybe having this as part of their wedding party, mm-hmm. their first dance, maybe for the groom's night out, a lot of different things. So Snellville I've traveled to, I would probably not put any limitations on that. If someone was to contact me and they were interested, then we would talk about that, have that conversation, and we would work something out.
Well, you're listening to Business Leaders of Today with Tess Turin with Basica and Next Link Marketing, and Miss Angel Nallen from the Nallen Insurance Group And we are talking with Steve Jones from ATL Steppers Connect, CEO and founder. I have to ask, Steve, being in marketing, I'm a marketing girl. what types of promotions do you do? What types of marketing do you do to help get the word out?
I use, I do a lot of marketing the old fashioned way. Where I was down at the Centennial Park on Wednesday, and where they have a weekly jazz and gathering, and I was down there just handing out flyers and communicating, talking with people, seeing which people were responding to music in certain ways, and I would approach them and maybe talk with them, have a conversation, exchange information. I do an e-blast. I'll use Eventbrite, Facebook. And we had a conversation earlier about Twitter. I will now be using Twitter
right.
after this meeting. I will definitely set up a Twitter account.
You
now.
Got the tweet.
Exactly. I'll be tweeting and stepping. So
exactly. Matter of fact, you can tweet pictures of your next event. Matter of fact, when is your next event you have coming up?
Next event is coming up on July 19th, Saturday, July 19th. We've put together a really fabulous event in downtown Atlanta at the Hotel Hilton downtown. It's on Cortland Street. And we actually have two events going on that day. Earlier that day from 3 to 5:30, we're putting on a stepping workshop. This is for the novice or the beginner, someone who's interested in learning stepping. We'll provide them with some of the basic foundations and building of the dance. And that will go on from 3 to 5:30. And then later on that evening, we'll be having an elegant all-white party, the ultra-white party at the same location at the hotel
Hilton like fun.
Downtown. It's going to be lots of fun, lots of people. I'm getting a really good response from the community, and I'm hoping more people will come out and join it and enjoy it, either the workshop or the party or both. It's going to be a really good time.
Now, do you find more women get involved in your programs than men, or 50-50? I would think more women would get more involved than men.
Yes.
The women have to kind of drag the man out, right?
yeah, that
typically.
That is true. And I think Angel actually spoke to some of that. More women are involved in dance because of the culture of it. And I'm often challenging men. I put the full court press on men to get involved. And then a lot of the times, you know, where the ladies are, the men will follow.
I try to tell my single guy friends, you want to meet a woman? Go to a dance class. It's not that hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't go to the club on Saturday night.
Exactly.
Go to a dance class. The stats are probably going to be 10 to 1.
Yeah.
You can't miss.
right. But that's not to say that the men that are out, what happens with Chicago stepping is that we've been able to preserve some of the culture of old school dance, where a man still walks up and asks a lady, you know, for a dance, and they enjoy themselves. We have men that preserve part of the culture where, you know, after a night of stepping, men will actually escort a woman to her car to make sure she's getting, you know, into her car safely. So there's a lot of, you know, those cultural aspects that we've been able to preserve. And that's what draws a lot of the people to it. It's the community and the social environment of it. It's actually a community atmosphere that we are constantly trying to promote. And for those who don't have partners, we also include line dancing as well, too. I'm not a big line dancer, but I support line dancing. We'll actually have some of the line dancing at our event as well, too, for those who enjoy line dancing and maybe do not step. I have a special guest DJ coming out of Kansas City, DJ Reggie Reg, and he'll be hosting some line dancing as well, too.
I bet J.E. Dunn knows them. Do you guys know DJ Reggie Reg?
I met him, but I'll introduce myself.
Dan, Mike probably knows him. Well, now, let me ask you, because I heard you say that, you know, the thing I like about it is that it's a very mature, grown-up dance, unlike twerking, which is ridiculous, but that's a whole nother conversation. But I think that's what I like most about it. It's a very adult. The man comes over, asks you to dance. Everybody starts the same way. It's kind of like, you know, that first date.
Courting.
Right. It is a very, and it's not a close dance, because I can't imagine a stranger getting that close to me, but it's a very sexy and grown up dance. Now, you said you guys do some of the line dancing, and obviously you do these big parties. Where is stepping kind of the most popular that you have found?
I want to say, obviously, Chicago. We consider Chicago the Mecca.
Because they have them all the time, right?
Yeah, there's parties going on all the time. And from what I understand, after Chicago, Atlanta runs in second. And
really?
Then, yes, ma'am.
Because I know they have a lot of them here.
Yeah, and then Detroit. Mm-hmm. And then I believe it goes L.A. But they're stepping everywhere. L.A. I've traveled to places where I probably would have not thought about traveling. I've traveled for stepping to Cleveland, Ohio. And I wouldn't have had any other reason to go to Cleveland but to go to a Steppers event.
Right. He said no other reason to go to Cleveland, right?
Even though there's a lot of conversation around Cleveland right now in the sports world.
Not, right, not even football game, nothing.
But stepping brought me to Cleveland, and I've met people, you know, through the years that I'm still close in contact with, mm-hmm. you know, till this day.
Well, I do want to remind everyone out there, you're listening to Business Leaders of Today. I am Angel Nowlin with the Nowlin Group Insurance Agency, your business insurance specialist. My co-host is Tess Duran with Basica and NextLink Marketing, your marketing and advertising expert. And we are speaking to Steve Jones, founder and CEO of ATL Steppers Connect. I got to ask you, Steve, because obviously you have this big event coming up July 19th.
Yes.
Your Ultra White Party. And it's going to start with, you said, lessons kind of from 3 to 5:30.
Correct.
That's kind of the thing. So let me ask you this, because contrary to popular belief, it's also good exercise to dance.
Yes, it is. It's a cardio workout
as well.
It
is a cardio workout. Have you, I mean, do you find that people come mostly for the camaraderie? Do they come just for the dancing? Do they like the fact that obviously they get a good workout? What do you think the draw is, the reason why people are drawn to this kind of dance?
I believe it's the community aspect.
Right.
And some people, I mean, I've had, you know, conversations or stories where people have, you know, incorporated into their workout and they've lost significant weight as a result of it. It's a constant movement, you know, in the dance. So there are a lot of different aspects to it. I can't say that it's just one thing. Mm-hmm. I would have to say that it's probably a combination of those things, the community, the physical, the interaction, the types of people that it tends to draw, mm-hmm. you know, mainly professional people, you know, what we refer to as the grown and sexy, you know, crowd.
That's what I like to think. I am grown and mm-hmm. super sexy. Right. Actually, I like to throw a little super in there.
But we have... We have, you know, folks who, I mean, I've done workshops with teenagers. I've done, mm-hmm. you know, workshops with, you know, seniors and various things. So mm-hmm. there's not just one particular base. It kind of spreads all the way across.
So you have packages that you offer?
I have packages. Yeah, I do a lot of, I've been doing more private lessons, but okay. I will do group classes. I've done some at recreation centers where, you know, folks will come in for maybe 8 sessions and I'll have groups come in. I'll work with them like that. Or, mm-hmm. you know, prior to a lot of my events, I'll have an introductory class inclusive with the party. Mm-hmm. So folks can come probably an hour before whenever the party is hosted. And we'll go over, you know, some of the foundations and the basics. You know what I say, just enough to get them through the night.
Right, exactly. Make them at least look a little cool.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Well, tell everyone out there, Steve, again, the best way, or Steve Jones, should I say, the best way to reach the ATL Steppers Connect and all you guys' parties you have coming up, your events.
All right, well, we have the party coming on, the Ultra White Party going on Saturday, July 19th at the Hilton Hotel. That'll be on Cortland Street, downtown Atlanta. I can be reached email stepinmotion@gmail.com. That's STEP, the letter N, the word motion @gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook, Steve Jones at Facebook. You can Eventbrite. You can purchase tickets on Eventbrite.
Oh, that's good.
At the Ultra White Party, Eventbrite. You can purchase those tickets.
And pretty soon you'll be able to tweet.
Exactly.
And find out where it is.
But we want to develop a Twitter handle.
Right. Well, we do want to thank you again for coming out.
Thank you.
And sharing. I may have to come to that party. Maybe that'd be my birthday gift to myself.
Oh, I
but
hope
the last
so.
Time I went to a stepping party, there was a guy stepping with 2 women at the same time. I thought, I'm in the wrong party because I'm still kind of a beginner. No, he literally was dancing with 2 women, and it was, there are no words how cool it was. Even though he could not have been taller than 5'3", but that's another conversation. Our last guest, Mr. Bernard Levitt, president of B. Levitt and Company. Good morning, Bernard.
Good morning, Miss Angel.
Don't play with me. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
Tell us about B. Levitt and Company, Inc.
B. Levitt and Company, Inc. is we're general contractors. We're a design build firm. We specialize in commercial and residential construction. We've done a lot of single family homes, mm-hmm. townhome communities. Mm-hmm. Commercial wise, we've done religious facilities, institutional facilities, We've also done retail and medical facilities as well. We've been around since 2002.
Okay.
And construction and architecture has been a true passion of mine for a number of years. How I started in the business, I come from a family of entrepreneurs, so I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. So I decided to go to college and become a architect. I went to Tuskegee University.
Okay.
Got my degree in architecture. Worked for about 10 or 12 years in architectural. In fact, my mentor is a local gentleman here, Robert Brown, with R.L. Brown and Associates, his architectural firm here in Atlanta,
okay.
who actually got me started in the profession of architecture, who I truly love and admire, who really taught me the business. And in 2002, when I left his company, I decided to start my own construction company, and we've been working at it ever since.
Now, you said you do commercial, some residential, townhome communities. Which ones do you like the most? I mean, what have you found the projects you kind of have? Because obviously you do them, but which ones do you, is the one you like working on the most?
There's a townhome community in Atlanta, in Stone Mountain called Mountain View Village Townhomes. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably been the most interesting and most exciting project for me. We built about 29, it's a 29 unit townhome complex there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason why I enjoyed it so much because we started it with, I actually was a developer there as well. I actually purchased the land. It was about 3 acres of land, single family homes there. And we went through an entire process with DeKalb County and getting the property totally rezoned
mm-hmm.
for a multifamily use. So that took us about 2 years to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Meeting
2 years to get it?
Just to get it rezoned because we had a little bit pushback with the community, people coming out fighting, not truly understanding what it was our desire to do there.
I'm going to withdraw my application wanting to be a construction person. I don't have that kind of time. That's a long time.
But it made us even more passionate about what we were doing because mm-hmm. once the community understood mm-hmm. And got what we were doing, it made it that much sweeter for us once the project was actually completed.
Mm-hmm.
So we started that project, got the financing from the banks. And at that time, we were very young,
mm-hmm.
2002, 2003. We had never done any major construction.
Oh, that was your first big project?
First
then?
Big project.
Oh, wow.
And, for a bank to give us $1.5 million.
You must have been very convincing.
Well, I think so. but I think it's about, as J.E. Dunn said, it's about just having that integrity, building relationships. And I had been planning prior to that before I was still in architecture,
mm-hmm.
developing relationships, meeting with banks. I had been in business with my family business for a number of years. So just I knew that having those relationships would be very, very key and taking care of those relationships, doing what you say you're going to do it when
Absolutely.
You say you're going to do it. And that made all the difference. And that's not to say the first bank we went to, we got the loan the first time. It took us
right.
about 5 or 6 banks
mm-hmm.
before they decided to give us that amount of money. And when they did, we excelled at what we did. We paid back the loan on time. And it was a very successful project.
Right. And it sounds like it was. Now, what have you worked on since then? What's your next probably favorite project?
So right now, I have a couple of projects that we're working on. I'm working with a church now called Impact Worship Center in Mableton, Georgia. They're in the process of purchasing a 30,000 square foot building in Mableton.
Oh, wow. Right. That's a lot of church.
Right.
30,000 square feet.
Right. So the building that they're purchasing was never built out. It's just a shell sitting there now. So
oh.
they're hiring our company to build out
mm-hmm.
The remaining interior space of the building. So it's about a $600,000 or $700,000 project
mm-hmm.
That we're going to be doing. And then there's a there's an investment group now in Stone Mountain that's hired our company to build 85 single family homes that will be starting in the next month or two. So we're really, really excited about that. So, we love the residential side of it as well. But I think if we had to pick one, it would truly be the commercial side of things.
Why is that?
The clients, for one,
as picky.
It's not as picky, and it's more. It is more money,
right? Yeah, I'm just saying because I know how I want my kitchen is a big difference if it's my house versus if it's my business.
Absolutely, absolutely, and it's just the I love challenges, and commercial property projects are definitely a lot more challenging than the residential.
Well, and I assume that they speak more to that relationship that I think even J.E. Dunn was talking
Absolutely.
About. With a homeowner, you build the house, they buy it, they stay in it for years, you don't do any more business with them,
if
ever.
That's correct.
So with commercial, that relationship really keeps going.
That, exactly.
And it doesn't, like, you know, you don't break up when it's over.
That's right.
You just kind of keep going.
Now, I know you're a design firm. Now, do you do custom designs?
We do. Okay. We do. We do custom designs. In fact, it's very rare that we have a company that has just come to us and just want us to just provide traditional design services for them. Most times they are wanting us to do design build for them, where they'll come and just kind of hand us the entire project, let us design it, and we'll actually build it.
Okay.
In fact, that was my first design build project was my own project, was the townhome community. I actually designed everything and then actually build all of the homes. And then we have that a lot with a lot of the commercial projects we do. They'll just hire our company to do the design and then we build it. And there's a lot, sometimes there's a lot of cost savings for a client in doing it that way versus hiring a traditional architect and then just having a group of contractors to bid it out.
So basically you can take somebody's idea in their head and make it reality for them.
Absolutely.
Whether it's because, I mean, at least for me, I know I can't decorate nothing, but I always can think of what I like.
Yes.
So how challenging is it for you, or is it challenging at all? Because if you're an architect, when people trying to describe to you what they want and what they like, how hard is it for you to kind of come up with that? And they say, oh, Eureka, that's it.
Yeah. And keeping them on budget, I think, right, would even be harder.
It's like a wedding, no doubt.
That's the hardest thing, keeping them on budget.
Right.
You know, champagne taste on a beer budget?
Absolutely.
Or iced tea budget?
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. We're actually very creative. Mm-hmm. I have a great team of architects that work with me, and then myself being an architect as well. So we can come up and create anything, but we always have to do that reality check with the end user, whether it be commercial or residential. You know, they may want to start off with a project that may possibly cost $2 million, but they really only have about $1 million to spend. So once we kind of go through the numbers and kind of show them that this is, you know, what you're really working with in terms of being able to get this project built, this is what it's going to take to get it done. So yes, that's the most challenging part.
And I would think the unknown sometimes too, because, you know, sometimes projects, you know, the unexpected pops up. So you have to have, you know, those additional funds on hand.
We do. And we typically usually put a 10 to 15% contingency in most of the projects that we build. But a lot of times we, you know, the unknowns are mostly on projects that are existing buildings like this church we're doing.
Right.
Usually in new construction, there are not as many variables as there are in an existing building.
Right.
So we tend to do pretty good with that. We love new construction, but we do existing facilities as well.
I do want to remind everyone out there, you're listening to Business Leaders of Today. I am Angel Nowlin with the Nowlin Group Insurance Agency. I specialize in business insurance. My co-host is Tess Turan with NextLink and Basica Marketing, who is your marketing and advertising expert. We are speaking to Bernard Levitt of B. Levitt and Company, and he's telling us how smart he is, how he can get in a woman's head and actually know, well, not just a woman, anybody's head, and know exactly how they want it to look. So now you said that there's always been a passion and obviously a desire of yours to do, you know, building, which I wish I could do that kind of stuff. I throw a great party though, but I can't, I cannot do that kind of stuff. So how do you usually find your clients?
Usually, I would say 50% of the clients that we've had through the years have really just been word of mouth.
Okay.
Just referrals. People have just really appreciated the work that we've done for them. And then, mm-hmm. then we're very involved in the community as well.
Okay.
We're involved with, there are a couple of organizations that we do a lot of volunteer work for, one being New Life Christian Center, where we cater to displaced families. We deal with homelessness in the Atlanta area. And just as J.E. Dunn said as well, we feed these families on a weekly basis at the community center. So we're very involved with that. And they were also involved with another organization called House of Love for the Family Foundation.
Okay.
And we do pretty much the same thing. It deals with displaced families and dealing with the homelessness of families and finding them jobs. So now with that organization, we actually give money to other organizations that deal with homelessness in the city of Atlanta.
It's so nice to see companies actually caring about people for a change. It's not just bottom line. Because I keep telling people, if you do the right thing and you look out for people, the money will come.
Absolutely.
It's just not that hard. It is literally that simple.
Absolutely.
If you just do the right thing, the money will come.
It will come.
It will absolutely come.
And we do a lot of networking as well.
Okay.
In Atlanta. We're at tons of events. Just promoting our business. And then, of course, we're revamping our website right now, which is on blevittcompany.com. So, absolutely. So we're doing a lot of we're going to be doing a lot of advertising on that once we get the site back up.
Okay. Well, listen, just I was going to say, you must have been reading my mind. Tell everyone out there the best way to get in touch with B. Levitt & Company, Mr. Levitt.
Absolutely. www.blevittcompany.com.
Okay.
And our office number is 404-486-3257. And our email address is gregorylevitt@comcast.net.
Okay. Again, thank you so much for coming out.
My pleasure.
And we also want to thank our other guests, Dan Kaufman and Mike Bartlett of J.E. Dunn Construction Company. Thank you, gentlemen, again.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Steve Jones, founder and CEO of ATL Steppers Connect. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hope you brought me some tickets to that party on July 19th so I can tell everybody about it. And again, I'm Angel Nallen with the Nallen Group Insurance Agency. I specialize in business insurance. My co-host is Tess Turin with NextLink and Basica Marketing. Don't forget, you can listen to our broadcast every Friday from 11:30 to 12:30. If you happen to miss any of our show, though, you can go to our website as www.businessleadersoftoday.com. And you can email us to be a guest on our show. If you want to refer someone to the show, it's businessleadersoftoday@gmail.com. I am Angel Nallen. Your business insurance specialist with the Nallen Group. I'm going to be your best friend on your worst day.
And I'm Tess Turin, your marketing and advertising consultant, where our business is growing your business.
Have a great weekend, everybody.